This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
If you're running for an office, you run because that's the seat that you know that you can win and you can serve in. I believe that I was going to win the governor's race because I felt it in my heart.
Former Florida Congresswoman and gubernatorial candidate Gwen Graham is keeping a busy schedule these days, tackling issues almost as if she's back on the campaign trail. But this time, she's not holding back.
I still don't see many who are calling out the truth about Governor DeSantis. His positions are not good for the future of a state that has many challenges facing us.
However, looking back, Democrats had a real chance to take over the governor's mansion, but after the primary, the widely expected unity ticket between Andrew Gillum and Gwen Graham never materialized.
He never talked to me about it. If he had asked me, I would have done it.
Plus, we hear about donor fallout for Gillum that might cripple his political future.
I do believe I will sue him to get that $3.7 million back for the ones who gave it at the end, and I do believe I'll win.
All that and more coming up on episode 166 of The Rotunda.
The 10 minutes, I'll have to figure out how I'm going to put this all together.
I mentioned. You can just don't hold back. You can just have a much more lengthy podcast. People are going to be so excited and so interested in what we're saying that they're going to want to listen to the whole thing.
All right, I'll take Gwen's word on this one. The Rotunda podcast is officially back from its summer recess. This award-winning program is pretty much the OG of podcasting, running for about 6 years. We've been featured on Canadian Broadcasting as one of the best podcasts worth listening to. And our program with our featured guests are frequently quoted on NPR stations, newspaper articles, and new media outlets. This podcast is a weekly digest of the people and issues you ought to know about. We like to keep things short with our one-on-one interviews with top newsmakers and stories, but on occasion, we can go in depth. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, browse around. We've got plenty of episodes. My personal favorite are episodes 96 and 110, where we took the show on the road to Cuba. But for this episode, let's jump right in with our special guest. Gwen Graham, welcome to the Rotunda. It's good to see you.
My name very well.
Oh!
It's not easy to say. My parents, when they named me 56 years ago, they did not say my name fast to see if people could pronounce it clearly. So often it'll be like, Gwen Graham, you did excellent. You did an excellent job.
Well, thank you so much. And I didn't give a title. You're a former congresswoman and the daughter of our former governor and former senator. So
I'm just Gwen.
You're just Gwen. So since the election in 2018, you were running to be governor,
right,
and unfortunately it didn't work out. What have you been up to?
Oh, Tramell, I've been up to so much. Actually, I have really overscheduled my life, but in a very good way. I'm trying to be involved in lots of different areas that I care passionately about. I am a co-chairwoman of the Rebuild 850 effort to keep attention in the areas that were so devastated by Hurricane Michael. Essentially, it was my old congressional district that took the greatest hit. And so very involved in that. We're coming up on the 1 year anniversary, which is hard to believe that it's been a year. And many, many are still suffering. Mm-hmm. Many are still waiting for help.
Yeah.
So we're working towards that. I'm on the board of Ruthless, which is a organization that supports and encourages women to run for office. And in any way that I can help women recognize what a great joy it is to be able to be in elected office and serve and help people, I want to do that. We were talking before we went on your podcast live that one of the greatest challenges is fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something that you know, it's not easy to ask people to give you money, but it's something that's required in today's political world.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else am I doing? I'm on the ethics board here in Tallahassee, which has been something that I've been...
That's been controversial.
Just a little bit.
Just a little.
Just a tad. But I was committed to going on the ethics board and working through different changes that needed to be made, and I think we're making those changes, and it's going to be very positive, not just for the Ethics Board, but for the city of Tallahassee.
What else am I doing?
Gwen goes on to explain that she's on the board of Florida State Parks Foundation and that she's been helping out her parents in Gainesville, working a lot with her father at the Graham Center as he prepares to write his autobiography.
But going back to your mention of all the things that you're up to, Ruthless,
yes,
and being a part of that organization,
yes,
and recruiting women to run for office, I can't imagine a more better and more seasoned candidate than yourself. So will you be running for office again?
I hear that. People ask me that every day, and it really means a lot to me that people see in the future that I might run for another office. I have no plans right now. I'm taking it a day at a time. I'm very involved. Another thing I'm doing, I'm very involved in Joe Biden's campaign for the presidency. I really believe he is the candidate that can win in November, and it's critical for our democracy that we, if the president is not impeached, and this has all just been going on in the last couple days, that we defeat him. Yeah. In November of 2020.
Why Joe Biden? Like, what appeals to you for Joe Biden?
I have to tell you, we have an abundance of riches with our Democratic candidates. Many of them are good friends of mine. I don't know Mayor Pete, but I have to tell you that I have been so impressed with him, because he gives me a sense of peace and calm, and I think he's phenomenal, and I want him to stay, no matter what the outcome of this election is, I want him to stay active and in the front of our Democratic Party, because I think he's phenomenal. I think Elizabeth Warren is phenomenal. I had a chance to talk with her, the two of us, one time, and I shared with her that she's sort of like my role model, how you take a difficult subject and try to convey to the people you're speaking with what is your plan to make things better for their lives. I could go on and on. Beto. I sat with Beto. He served on the Armed Services Committee with me in Congress, and he and I are friends, and I think he is a phenomenal voice for the future as well. But for me, it comes down to this very pragmatic position. Who can win? And I think Florida is a blueprint for what we've got to have as a candidate who can, yes, draw Democrats across the ideological spectrum, but who can also draw in independents, who can draw in Republicans who are going, and I know this because I talk to a lot of Republicans as well as Democrats and independents. I'm very fortunate that I think people feel very comfortable sharing with me, but they will put country over party. There's so much feeling that we're just exhausted. I mean, we're absolutely worn out by this president, and it's time that we focus on putting our country first again, not whatever political party you happen to be a member of.
When it comes to being pragmatic and looking at who can win, going back to the gubernatorial race here in Florida, I thought it would have been great to see an Andrew Gillum and Gwen Graham ticket. Why didn't that happen after the primary?
He never talked to me about it. If he had asked me, I would have done it, because I believe that this last election, it was not about any candidate. It was about the future of Florida and electing a Democrat. And this last election was a Democratic wave year. It was a D+7 year. I think if Alex Sink had been running or Charlie Crist had been running, they would have won in this environment. And so, as I said on election night, I don't know, on primary night, I should say, which was a shock because everybody expected that we were going to win. But I recognize, you know, I just took a deep breath and I said, this is not about me. It's about supporting Andrew and making sure that we do everything we can to get him elected for the future of the state that I love. And one of the things I have been very vocal about is that I do not believe that Ron DeSantis is doing the job that I think many, just because he sort of at the beginning put forth this perception, and they did it very successfully, the team around him, that he was a more reasonable moderate, that he was not a Trumpster. Well, this last legislative session on so many issues that I care passionately about, that we should care passionately about as Floridians, were very damaging to the state of Florida.
I saw you went on a Twitter storm.
Yes, and I was surprised how much attention that got, because I think I was one of the few people, I still don't see many who are calling out the truth about Governor DeSantis. I mean, his positions are not good for the future of a state that has many challenges facing us. And it's interesting, even like I will say, recently I was in Gainesville with my parents, and a woman that I know is a big Democrat, and it shouldn't matter about your party affiliation, but I know she's a very, very liberal Democrat. And she said, you know, I think Ron DeSantis is doing an okay job. And I said, let me tell you why he's not. And by the time I finished talking with her, she said, why isn't this more discussed? Why aren't more people talking about this? And I said, that's a very good question.
What have you come to the conclusion with that? Like, why isn't it reaching the people?
That's a really good question.
Is his team that good, or what?
I think that first impressions are hard to change, and he created a positive first impression. He certainly, after Rick Scott, came across as a much more reasonable, likable human being. I also think that his wife is a huge, huge positive impact on him. I know Ron from Congress, and the perception that was created is 180 degrees different from what he was in Congress. I mean, in Congress, he was very much an isolated individual, didn't really engage with other members of Congress at all that I could see. He would walk around the House of Representatives floor with, what do you call those things you put in your ears?
Earpods?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was intentional so that he could use that as a cover, an excuse, I think, not to have to engage and talk with other members. For me, the opportunity to build the relationships in Congress, talk to other members, was critical to the job that I wanted to do. Because if you have those friendships, then other members want to help you in your legislation that you put forward. And every single piece of legislation that I put forward had a bipartisan co-sponsor. And that's the way you get things done as a legislator. But Ron did not take that approach.
Some have criticized that bipartisan nature for you as being not progressive enough on some of the issues that you voted on. And going back, considering where the GOP party is, do you have any regrets, or would you do things differently? Looking at the state of the GOP and how you've aligned on certain issues?
Not at all. I mean, for me, the issues are each individual issue I looked at from a factual standpoint. And I was someone that wanted to have people come into my office to brief me on their position, which could, not only did I want them to come if they differed from me, I appreciated their willingness to come and share a different point of view, because maybe that would change my mind. And it really bothered me, Tramiel, to watch my colleagues on both sides of the aisle who would walk onto the floor. Walk onto the floor. The Republicans would go to their whip desk. The Democrats would go to their whip desk. They would get a sheet of paper that told them how to vote. And they didn't have a clue why they were voting one way or the other. They would sit down or continue socializing, and they would look at how their party had told them to vote, and they would vote accordingly. To me, that's a dereliction of duty. Mm-hmm. To me, you're elected to actually put in the hard work of understanding the issues. And some of the issues that I recognize would be particularly a challenge for some of the far left and the progressives, I feel very confident they were the right decisions for the people of Florida.
Speaking of for the people, here is John Morgan.
We're going to get the nomination, and we're not even going to call Gwen Graham. We're not even going to call Gwen Graham and say, can you help me? Much less put her on the ticket. Do you think Gwen Graham could have been enough? But instead, he picked a guy named Chris King. I thought it was Doogie Howser when I first saw the picture. He got like 13 votes in the 13 votes, and it's him, his wife, his father, his mother, and some family members. He picks that guy. I knew we were going to lose. But what I worry about now is that money that we gave him, that we trusted him with, that same money that Ron DeSantis was using at the very end, every last dime, and that Rick Scott, again, in this election against Bill Nelson, using every last dime. He kept that money.
Gwen talked earlier about how it's not easy to ask people to donate money. It's one of the most important parts of a campaign. And the best way to get people to make it rain on your ambitions is to show signs of success. That was the case with former Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum during his bid for governor. But on the flip side of raising funds, Gillum is currently locked in a bitter feud with attorney and mega donor John Morgan over his contributions.
Jeff Green called me a few weeks ago. He says, called me from Sag Harbor. He goes, did you know Andrew Gillum kept our money? I said, yeah, I did. He got another guy on the phone named Don Peoples. He said, did you know Andrew Gillum kept our money? I said, yeah, I did. This Andrew Gillum kept that money to promote Andrew Gillum. I gave my money to promote the things I believed in. And then when he gets cornered and I call him out, he says, I don't live on his plantation.
The run for governor was, I devoted every single day of my life for a very long time because I knew that as governor that I could make a real positive difference for the state. But you gotta be willing to do that, Tramiel. I mean, you've gotta be willing to sit in a room, call people, ask them to give you resources, and you've got to be willing to do the homework. You've got to be willing to travel around and talk with people. You can't be shy.
Yeah.
You cannot be shy.
What happens to the money after you've raised it? I saw in the fundraising aspect with Andrew Gillum and who was it? For the people.
John Morgan. Yeah. Did you go to the Tiger Bay?
I did go to the Tiger Bay. I guess, were you there?
No. I was actually, you know what I was doing at that point? It's something that anybody who knows, I was getting my hair colored, which is something, if you have an appointment with your person that colors your hair, you don't mess with that appointment. That was one thing I told my team. I'm like, if I have an appointment to see someone that's gonna help my hair look better, don't schedule something else at that time. But I did get reports about it.
Yeah.
People were telling me. I was sitting there with color on my hair and people were texting me going, you're not gonna believe what's going on here, so.
Let's go inside that Tallahassee Tiger Bay meeting where John Morgan pretty much throws the book at Andrew Gillum, serving up a giant threat to his political career.
And if he does decide to run, I do believe I have a cause of action. I do believe I will sue him to get that $3.7 million back for the ones who gave it at the end. And I do believe I'll win.
All right, so that's some of the backdrop.
So how would you, like, what is the right way to go about when you have that excess of funds left over?
I'll tell you what I've done. Mm-hmm. When I ran for Congress the last time, when I didn't know if my district was going to get redistricted or not, and so I was raising resources for a congressional race, and then when my district got redistricted, I don't know if people know this, and it really was very offensive to me what Jeff Green did, who was one of the people running against me, and I as the front runner, I took in over $10 million of negative ads against me. Because I was a front runner, so he was trying to tear me down. But one of the things he said is that I walked away from the congressional race. I don't know if you saw it. When I got back from, I lived in Orlando for 6 months because I had to be more centrally located for the campaign. And when I came back, my husband, he's so nice of him, had stacked up all of the direct mail pieces that came in. And one of the things they said was that I walked away from my congressional seat. Nothing could be further from the truth. I got redistricted out of a seat. And back to my commitment, if you're running for an office, you run because that's the seat that you know that you can win and you can serve in. I believe that I was going to win the governor's race because I felt it in my heart. But my district went from an R+7, which I won in 2014, to the new congressional district 2, which is a gerrymandered Republican district. My father, God bless him, who is the sweetest, kindest, he doesn't get all of this ugly partisan politics stuff that we deal with now. He kept saying, Gwen, they're not going to redistrict your district because it's a swing district. It's not gerrymandered. Uh-huh. You've proven that a Republican can win it, a Democrat can win it. I said, Dad, I got to tell you, I think the politics of this, they're going to gerrymander my district. And they did it. So now in Tallahassee, there's a roundabout near FSU near Doak Campbell, where you go in and out of Congressional District 2 and Congressional District 5. The northern half is gerrymandered Democrat. The southern half is gerrymandered Republican. So back to your question.
Yeah.
So I was raising money for that seat to run for Congress. And when I made the decision, I was not going to run for what was now a gerrymandered Republican seat. I wrote every person who gave me money a letter. And I said, if you would like to have your money back, because you gave it to me because I was running for Congress, but I'm going to run for something else. I knew I was going to run for governor. But if you would like to have your money returned, this is how you get your money back. I believe that's the right thing to do. In terms of my campaign accounts, my gubernatorial campaign account and my political committee account, at the end of my campaign, I shut them both down. And what's so unbelievable is recently, I'm giving you some, this is some new news. Recently, and I've had those campaign accounts shut down for a long time, I got a call from my media buyer who let me know that, if I couldn't believe it, but almost a year later, that they had just been refunded money from the different television stations across the state that they ended up not spending. They didn't, either the cost of the buy went down or they didn't, or the ad didn't run for as long. I don't know all how it all works, but yeah. Anyway. But I got a pretty significant check back for my Graham for Governor account and a pretty significant check back for my Graham for Florida account. One was my gubernatorial account, one was my political committee. Well, what you're required to do under the law of Florida is if you take matching funds, then you must return. If you get any money left in your gubernatorial account, must be returned to the state of Florida. So I took that check back to the Secretary of State, to the Division of Elections. And I had to check on this, but they were so shocked. They were like, people never come giving us money back. And I said, well, it's what you're legally required to do. So I don't know, maybe I'm the only person ever to have run for office that had this happen to her. But, and then the other check, which was my political committee refund, as I said, I'm very committed to helping women run for office. And so I gave every bit of that, as you should, to Ruthless, so that the resources could be used to help other women run for office.
All right. So there is a process that you can follow.
There is.
Follow.
And again, it should be followed. I mean, and when the people that were kind enough to help me on my gubernatorial campaign, I want you all to know that I did what was right with the resources that were left over.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, bringing you stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Each week, this program is supported by listeners like you. Visit rotundapodcast.com to share your feedback, pitch story ideas, or become an underwriter by sponsoring this program. Follow us on social media at Rotunda Podcast. And be sure to visit rotundapodcast.com throughout the week for breaking news and previews into upcoming episodes. As always, thanks for your support. Welcome back to the program. I'm chatting with former Congresswoman and gubernatorial candidate Gwen Graham, who credits Governor DeSantis's team for rolling out a great first impression. But she says she worries about what he's actually doing to the state.
Right. So what are some of the things that you do differently? Governor DeSantis is there. You're unhappy with what he's been doing so far. What are those issues that he's not doing enough of?
Certainly at the top of the list is education. Mm-hmm. We, as a state of Florida, are going to be in a very difficult position in the future as the Jeb Bush train to privatize our public education system has now got Richard Corcoran and the third leg of the stool, Governor Ron DeSantis, to support his mission, which has been for the last 20 years. We need to be supporting our public schools. We need to be supporting our teachers with the salary that they deserve. We need to be making sure that every school is given the resources that they need to well educate all children. And what we're seeing happening in Florida, we've already seen this play before. It happened in Michigan, where Michigan was Betsy DeVos had control over Michigan, and
what happened there is going to happen in Florida. They move towards the for-profit charter industry. Their public school system took a hard hit as a result. And now we have a Democratic governor again in Michigan, and she's having to do the hard work of restoring what has been proven to be the best way to well educate the future of whatever state you happen to be in the future of Florida. What I would do as governor is I would be a big proponent of community schools, public community schools. We have some in Tallahassee now. As a matter of fact, one just opened up at Sable Palm, mm-hmm. with support from the medical community here in Tallahassee and others that will, in fact, provide for the families of the students that are attending these schools the support that they need. You know, the opportunity to provide not only just the reading, writing, and arithmetic, but a well-rounded education, not just for the students, but for their families, mm-hmm. as well, and the services that families need. We could use our public schools as a place where we could serve elderly meals, you know, have Meals on Wheels at our schools, bring our seniors there. They could provide create mentorship to our kids. Yeah. But we're not right now, the only path that our legislature is thinking is to push resources into the for-profit charter school industry. There's a lot of people making a lot of money on the backs of our kids, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
Climate change, guns, are we gonna see any movement on guns? And although you're not in office, is there anything going on behind the scenes or people who you're supporting or
Well, climate change is something that we as Floridians, we are the state most impacted by climate change because we're a peninsula, we're surrounded by water, and because of our geographic makeup, mm-hmm. our limestone makeup means that when water is pushed in, when the Atlantic is pushed in or the Gulf is pushed in on either side of Florida, the water then rises in other places in the middle of the state. I'm from a town called Miami Lakes, which is in northwest Miami-Dade County. Now, there in Miami Lakes, which is nowhere near the ocean or the Gulf, we're seeing significant flooding as doesn't even have to be a significant rainstorm. Mm. It's just that the waters on either side are pushing in and causing the water to rise in the middle of the state. From an economic standpoint, mm-hmm. the state of Florida, if we don't address climate change, we're not going to be able to get mortgages for our homes because the risk is so great. If we don't start recognizing that we do have to have some control over development and where the development occurs, then we're going to be forced to deal with unlivable coastlines. Yeah. And one of the things that Ron did, and again, it was I was happy when he did one thing, but then I was like, okay, that's you give us a little bit of a crumb, and then you bring the hammer down. The governor was correct in saying we're not going to, from Tallahassee, tell local communities whether they can have plastic straws or not. That was the correct, and people really applauded him for that. But then shortly thereafter, he approved this toll road to nowhere, which is going to destroy many undeveloped areas, another huge issue for Florida. But more significantly, within that legislation, he dismantled a lot of the growth management for local communities to be able to have a say in the development that's going on. People don't know that. So, yes, I'm glad about the straws, really happy about, you know, allowing communities to decide. But we really need to be as well focused on the damage that's being done, the much more significant damage that's being done to the state of Florida and the bad environmental policies that this administration is supporting.
What I was going to ask regarding the limestone was the issue. I'm trying to remember the issue your office was on when somewhere in central Florida, the leakage.
That was the Mosaic phosphate plant. Mm-hmm. And when there was a sinkhole that opened up, and I was getting calls. I don't know why other members of Congress were not dealing with this issue, but I was getting calls. People were so concerned, and rightfully so, because the sinkhole, millions of gallons of contaminated water was pouring into the aquifer as a result of this sinkhole. And the state wasn't doing anything
to notify those who lived around the area, hey, you need to check your water quality. Mm-hmm. And I remember, it was interesting because I remember with Governor Scott and I had a conversation and his response to me was, Gwen, there's no law that requires me to do it. And I said, well, how about just doing what's right for the people of Florida? How about that? Why does there have to be a law? There shouldn't have to be a law. So there were some changes that were made as a result of that, as a result of us pushing that issue. There's on the DEP website now, at least the last time I checked, there's actually a place where you can go in and record a pollution incident so that there's notification. But there really needs to be so much more, and there shouldn't have to be a law to do what's right.
Well, now there is a law. In 2017, Governor Scott signed a law requiring public notification within 24 hours of pollution incidents.
I have a saying. You want to hear my saying?
I want to hear your saying.
If it's not right, don't do it. If it's not true, don't say it.
All right.
How about that?
You need to take that to Washington.
Well, I think if you live life with that as your commitment every day, you're going to do okay.
Yeah.
This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes, chatting with former Congresswoman Gwen Graham. She tackles climate change, guns, and the impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump.
On guns,
I
brought it up, and just thinking of kids that from Parkland that came for the first time, and they were petitioning their lawmakers and trying to get them to act. But there is a force here in Tallahassee that restricts and actually put forward more expansion of guns and rights. What are your thoughts and what are you seeing here in Tallahassee on that issue?
Well, Marion Hammer has had total control over the Florida legislature for a very long time. She actually started her reign of terror when my dad was governor, as a matter of fact. And so it's been a very, very long, lengthy, damaging term for her. And it really is shocking to me that there hasn't been a willingness on the part of the Florida legislature to deal with this issue in common sense ways. I mean, common sense ways. We don't need to have weapons of war out on our streets. There's no reason. Look, we're in North Florida. I understand the hunting community. I understand that those that wish to go out and hunt. But you don't hunt with an AK-15, you don't, an AR, what do you call them, Tramell?
Yeah.
AR-15,
yeah.
AKs, there's different. You don't hunt with a rapid fire gun. And things like background checks. You have to have a background check if you go to a federally licensed gun dealer. But if you purchase at a gun show, you don't have to have a background check. Those are common sense things. Most people, and I'll tell you, most NRA members agree on the background checks. That's something we absolutely should do. When I first recognized that how much control the NRA had, and this is not, and I refuse to allow this to be a competition between the Second Amendment and gun ownership, because reasonable people can agree who are gun owners on what we should be doing to at least try, if you can save one life from senseless gun violence. We have so much senseless gun violence right here in Tallahassee. You know, in our communities in Tallahassee, it breaks my heart. But I was working for the school district here in Tallahassee when Sandy Hook happened. And I went to an elementary school the very next day. And I stood there as parents were afraid. And I stood there and I was helping little babies get out of their cars. And I started counting the backpacks. And I got to the number that had been killed the day before. And I was overcome by the recognition of what had happened. And I certainly thought that was going to be something that caused there to be a change. No.
Yeah.
And then when we had Pulse here in Florida, I stood on the House floor and I pleaded for something as simple as no fly, no buy, that if you can't fly on an airplane because you've been identified as a potential terrorist or some other threat, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. Even that was just too much for the NRA. So I don't know anymore. I mean, we've had such a cross-section of just
tragedies with gun violence, which just recently happened in Texas, where we've had one and we've had two in Texas in the recent history, and we've had one in Ohio. And I mean, and I think it's become, we're more or less just expecting it, right? So I don't understand why leaders of, and regardless of party affiliation, don't want to try something. Other civilized countries across the world who have issues such as mental health issues, who, you know, issues that are blamed for the issue, they have social media, they have video games, all the things that are blamed, they do not have the gun violence that we have in this country. What is different in the United States of America? Yeah. The number of guns on the street.
So lastly, I know this person enjoys being talked about, the president of the United States, Donald Trump, and what has been going on and the breaking news that came out today with regarding Ukraine. But what are your thoughts on Florida senators, Marco Rubio and Senator Rick Scott, and their positions with dealing with the president?
Well, I think that they're caught up in the political concern that if you take a position of strength, which is that this is not about being a Republican or Democrat with Trump. It's about being an American. And I don't know how, as an American, you can think that this president is what we would want representing the country, the greatest country in the world. And our, not only domestically, but internationally, this president is dragging us down. And now with the most recent, with the Ukraine, this just happens to be one more in a long series of questionable decisions or behavior on the part of the president. So I don't know what's going to happen, Tramiel. I have to be honest. I don't know. I don't know, because unless the Senate grows a spine, a serious spine, and is willing to, if the House does impeach and that forwards it to the Senate for the trial, is willing to do what they should do, take a hard look at the evidence and really look at the evidence, I think that, unfortunately, our partisanship is so in control today that we lose sight of what's the right thing to do. And back to my saying, if it's not right, don't do it. If it's not true, don't say it. I don't know how anyone could defend this president on a lot of what he says and does. And the truth is that, you know, he's ended up as president of the United States without any background that gives him the ability to be president of the United States. Think about that. Think about that. And as a matter of fact, they don't even like him in New York City. I mean, the people that know you best, if they don't like you, that says a whole lot. So I have no idea what's going to happen. I think that get to the facts and present the evidence, and everybody should vote their conscience and do what's right for our country, not what's right for your political party.
Yeah. All right. Well, Gwen Graham, thank you so much for taking this time to speak with me here on The Rotunda. I appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate it, Tramiel. I hope you can maybe break this into multiple different podcasts. Okay?
Have you keep going each week.
No.
The Gwen.
Yeah. And if you want me to come back and talk longer, I can certainly do that as well.
Yeah, looking forward to having you back on the program.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Special thanks to former Congresswoman Gwen Graham for joining the program. We've got so much catching up to do on the Rotunda, so please stay tuned for more. We're back on our regular schedule. Remember to follow us on social media at Rotunda Podcast. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program and suggest topics and story ideas. And be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramiel Gomes.